welcome to Studio RC, an encouragement for both your recovery and your faith. My name is Pastor Max. I am an alcoholic, and I am also a follower of Jesus. Today is a special episode celebrating Easter. So he is risen. He is risen indeed. And so we're going to just jump right in to our topic today. And I'm going to introduce a concept that maybe you've heard of, maybe you haven't. It comes from Latin, and it is called memento mori. Memento mori, which means remember that you must die. Remember that you must die. And I'm going to tie this in both to Easter as well as to our recovery. But this memento mori concept, this reminder of our own mortality, I mean, it's a concept that has been reflected upon for centuries across various cultures and philosophies. And it serves as this powerful reminder of the impermanence of life. In other words, life will end. Someday it will end. And just the inevitability of death. And this isn't meant to be sad. It's meant to be freeing and liberating and encouraging. In regards to our recovery, it very much aligns with the principle of one day at a time, emphasizing that the importance of focusing on the present moment and taking each day as it comes without becoming overwhelmed by fears or uncertainties of the future. Our recovery concept, one day at a time, very much embodies the memento mori, sort of the essence of it. When considering the significance of both Jesus' death and his resurrection at Easter time, in the light of these concepts, there's some profound meanings that emerge. And the first one is in regards to memento mori and Jesus' death. Jesus' death on the cross that took place on Good Friday of Holy Week serves as the ultimate reminder of mortality. In Christian theology, Jesus, who is both fully human and fully divine, willingly embraced mortality by undergoing crucifixion. His death underscores the reality of human frailty and the inevitability of death for all of us, even Jesus. Now, this aspect of Jesus' sacrifice, it resonates with this memento mori concept, serving as this poignant reminder of just the transient nature of life. By experiencing death in human form, Jesus not only emphasizes or empathizes with human suffering, but also he confronts the fear and the uncertainty surrounding mortality. Many of us, you know, we have fear, uncertainty when it comes to that. Even people of faith believe in the afterlife, believe in heaven, but may have some lack of faith. Maybe they're 90% sure, but they're not the 100%. Maybe they're 99%. Maybe they're 60%. And they're trying to work that out and understand that. Well, as individuals in recovery, as we reflect on Jesus' death, that too can provide us with solace and perspective. It reminds us that we're not alone in facing mortality. The we of the fellowship continues to come through even at the point of death. And even in the depths of suffering and despair, there is hope through faith in Jesus. And so we can really, we can take that from Good Friday and move to throughout the weekend. So I'm going to focus on memento mori for just a few moments. And remember that you must die. We, I think as a culture, we struggle with death. Ironically, we call middle-aged 50. The problem with that is our life expectancy is 72. So that's not really middle-aged. Middle-age is really 35. Sorry to break it to my 30-year-olds out there. But that's closer to what middle-age is. But we don't want to talk really about death, or we ignore death. Even that, the culture of honoring people when they die. If you go to a different culture and maybe somebody who is older dies in the village, the entire village comes out. Whereas in our part of the world, in our culture, immediate family and some friends might come out, and it might be more, it's probably more of a smaller funeral. We struggle with the concept of death, and we think and live like we're going to live forever, but not in a spiritual way, in a our days aren't really numbered kind of way. And I think that that can really curtail us. And I love how both recovery and this concept of memento mori, they merge together one day at a time, that focus on that 24-hour day-tight compartment that we have in recovery helps us to really embrace all that we can do in that single day. This Latin word, or Latin words for remember that you must die, is this symbolic reminder of the inevitability of death. We will die. And by embracing that, there actually is freedom in that. Memento mori is that symbolic reminder of the inevitability of death and to live life to the fullest. Now, that does not mean that we do whatever we want whenever we want, because I think that sometimes as addicts and alcoholics, when we think we have free license or free reign to do whatever we want, we usually end up in the ditch somewhere rather than making great progress. But a proper understanding of death can be linked to the concepts of your understanding of God, of heaven, the Bible. As people of faith, it's important. It takes a lot of searching to get down to the nitty-gritty about those topics. But the fact is that people die. Dreams die. Love dies. Habits die. Our pets die. Plants die. Even the main character dies. Death is inevitable and essential. Even Jesus in the Bible died. The warrior in Gladiator, Russell Crowe, says, "Death smiles at us." The preacher at a wedding will say, "Till death do us part," on the wedding day. Death plays a major role in every aspect of life. So why is it such a profound struggle for humanity to come to grips with this memento mori concept, that inevitability of our own death? What's ironic, however, is that while we may flee the reality of our own mortality, we're obsessed so often with death. We're captivated by stories of serial killers, true crimes, assassins, vampires, zombie wars. Anything to do with death, whether in a book or on a screen, many of us were hooked. The horror movies, all those things. Most of us have that morbid sense of curiosity that fuels this deep-seated subconscious impulse to search for answers about death. We try to understand or figure out death. But the paradox lies in the fact that if the conversation is about our own death or that of someone we love, we dodge the subject altogether. But if it's someone else's death, like outside of our world, we're open to talking about it, and some of us can't even look away. Now, I think of, subjects that we sometimes dodge. I have a mother, and she is still living, and I am thankful for that, who won't tell us her birthday. She was 29 till my sister turned 30, and then she turned 39, turned 39. So we've never been quite clear on her birthday. We have a 3 to 4 year range, but that's just a subject she doesn't want to talk about. And I think that sometimes we are like that when it comes to death. We don't want to talk about it. And so knowing that even Jesus dies, it's important for us to look at death. Because we've been asking the same question since the beginning of time. What is in store for us after death? What is there? Are we working toward what is in store for us after death? Sometimes we joke, I'll sleep when I'm dead. You know, and the truth is, for those of us who might not be getting enough sleep, we're probably bringing ourselves to a premature ending to our life so that we'll get to sleep a little earlier, because the truth is, they tell us sleep is really important for our health and for things. Now, what's interesting and what many of us may struggle with is the wealthier, the richer a community is, and in regards to monetarily, the more we use material possessions to distract ourselves from the things we fear. Preacher, theologian Charles Spurgeon once gave a sermon example of a man who toured the luxurious home of a friend and remarked, "These are the kinds of things that makes it hard to die." And I think it's interesting. I remember when I first became a Christian, and I was about 3-4 years sober, and I was so hot to trot for Jesus and so excited about Jesus, and I was like, take me now. And then I met my wife. I'm like, take me a little bit. And then I had a child. Take me a little long. Then I had, I had a total of 3 children, and I had this family. I'm like, well, you don't have to take me right away. I want to be here for a little while. But when I first got saved, I wanted to be with Jesus right away. I do know that I have a calling to do more than that. But, when we have things, even like the people we love, it's hard to die. It's hard to think, well, the next world is better than this world. It's hard for us to even wrap our minds around that, to understand that, to understand how Jesus died and then he rose again. When we have a lot of resources, we can alleviate, or at a minimum, we can soften the harsh realities of life. When we have no immediate needs per se, when we have no will to investigate deeper things, and the last thing we want to do is engage with a concept like memento mori. Why be reminded of the one thing we can't resolve? So sometimes we avoid the hard questions. Now, recovery makes it hard to dodge questions like this, because it makes us define our understanding of a higher power as we understood him. Like, what does God look like? And if it is Jesus, and what does that mean? What does that mean in our recovery? And so we have to wrestle with that. And the steps really make it so that we do wrestle with it. Now, we tell ourselves it's not what's on the outside that matters. It's what's on the inside, our soul, our heart. But physical health is certainly important. Like I just mentioned, sleep, for instance, is supposed to be very healthy for you and helpful for longevity. But when our physical health becomes our exclusive identity, we start to lose sight of heaven. When we are heaven viewing, and then we're like, nope, it's all about health. It's all about health. I got to live as long as I can. We've kind of lost view of heaven. Now, that's not to say we can't be healthy. That's not what I'm saying. There's a balance to it. And we want to be healthy so that we can be useful. And we want to be healthy so that, we can be useful to those around us, to God. We don't want to be healthy just so we can live a long life. Because some of that is vanity on some level. And one of the things, I have older parents. They're in their 80s. Again, my dad is actually about to turn 90. My mom, we're not so sure. She's in the 80 range somewhere. But one of the things I think that we don't always realize, or, many people want to live a long life, which I think is admirable and beats the alternative, we think. One of the things I have noticed, that to live a long life means you've outlived others. That's what, otherwise it wouldn't be a long life. It'd be an average life. So to live a long life there are going to be a lot of losses along the way. And I think that we don't always take that into consideration. We definitely don't probably take into consideration the emotional weight of other people passing away. And so that's one of those things that, again, we have a hard time with the perspective of, well, how great is heaven going to be? We want to hold on to this world, and maybe through our physical health, or, you know, we lose focus of heaven. The Bible tells us we're just ambassadors here. In other words, we're just visiting. We're from a foreign nation called heaven down here doing God's work, and that we'll be called back to our home nation, which is of heaven. Our earth is not our home. And so, you know, as we think about our own mortality, there is no subject more terrifying than death to someone who is terrified of aging. No, they don't want to talk about death. Death ultimately finds each of us, even Jesus, as we experienced on Good Friday. Despite all of our efforts, morality knocks on the door. Whether our eyes dim, can't drive at night, or you need big print for the big book or your Bible, Our hair might thin, our waist might thicken, our muscles might shrink a little bit, we sleep a little less, our memory goes in and out. You know, how many times have you walked into the kitchen and asked, why did I come in here? As we age, we feel, temperature drops and air pressures increase. When my family visits Florida, and we have some relatives down there, some grandparents down there, and when we're down there, it's like 74 degrees. And for coming from New Jersey, we're like, 74 degrees! We're so excited that it's 74 degrees! And it's funny because all the people that, you know, that we're hanging out with, they're all in their fleece coats. You know, we're used to winter and 30s and 20s, so we're like, 74 is so warm! And some of our relatives who are a little older, they're like, 72, that's cold. I put on my, you know, my fleece jacket as my kids are jumping in the pool. So it's some of that perspective. All this tempest, all these things that are going around us, death looms on the horizon. And the psalmist describes it as the anguish of the grave, writing of the great and incomprehensible abyss where the cords of death entangled us. The anguish of the grave came upon us. We were overcome by trouble and sorrow. So take heart, our problem isn't that we experience fear in light of death. Everyone does. The potential for harm and good is in how we respond to this fear. A healthy view of death can be very helpful in the ways that we view this life. As we embrace our mortality, our ability to see changes, our dimming earthly eyes actually become clearer as they focus on eternity. Memento mori fosters that kind of vision, that, remember that we must die. As the Apostle Paul put it, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. Since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. And he put it that way in 2 Corinthians 4:18. Some of the fearful unknowns about mortality have never fully gone away, even with our faith, even with our understanding of eternity. We can feel the dread when we try to wrap our heads around the concept of forever. Whew. However, today, the focus of our attention, we want to consider this simple confession. Lord, and this is, I'm worried about what I have. I'm concerned about how I look, and I'm anxious about my future. Maybe that's the confession that we need to make to God. And the question that we want to consider in this about this is practical. Lord, how shall I live today in light of spending eternity with you? Will that change my priorities? Because when Jesus died and then there was resurrection, that resurrection was what was going to allow us to be with God forever when we died. So we make the request, Lord, help me to actually see what's truly important so I can do what's most important in your sight. This is a lot like this 11th step when through prayer and meditation. You know, we pray for the knowledge of God's will and the power to carry that out. We're just asking God, show us where you're at work so we can join you. So we can make the most of this day, memento mori, so that we can seize the day. Our hope is that as we consider the day of our death, we will trust that the theme of memento mori will lead us to this new place with bright horizons. Because what is hovering out on the horizon isn't a storm, but rather the throng of saints who have gone before us, waiting to welcome us into eternity. Whether it's family member, whether it's great people of faith, there's a cloud of witnesses waiting to bring us in. So as we think and we conclude about one day at a time and Jesus' resurrection, this the concept of one day at a time, it encourages us of recovery to focus on the present moment and take each day as it comes. It's one of the greatest gifts of recovery. If you're able to live in those day-tight compartments, those 24-hour segments, and it helps us to not be overwhelmed by the uncertainties of the future. This approach, this one day at a time, it promotes mindfulness, gratitude, resilience in our journey of recovery. Now, on Easter, this is probably going to be Easter Tuesday when this is launched, but a day or two after we've celebrated Easter, Jesus' resurrection from the dead on the third day after his crucifixion embodies the ultimate triumph over death and despair. It signifies the promise of new life, redemption, and hope beyond the grave. Jesus' resurrection demonstrates that even in the face of death, there is the possibility of transformation, renewal, and eternal life. Now, for those of us in recovery, Jesus' resurrection offers profound hope and inspiration. It serves as a reminder that no matter how dire the circumstances may seem, how low our bottom may be, how great the challenges are that we face, there's always the possibility of renewal and transformation. Each new day becomes an opportunity to experience the power of resurrection in our own life, overcoming the grip of our addiction and embracing a life of freedom, purpose, and joy. I love that it's an opportunity to experience power. We admitted in the first step we were without power. We were powerless. And so now that we get to experience this power that is flowing in because of what Jesus did, we have a power source filling the void of our power, our powerlessness. The significance of Jesus' death and resurrection is deeply intertwined with the concept of memento mori, as well as one day at a time. Jesus' death reminds us of our own mortality and the fragility of life, while his resurrection offers hope and promise of new life beyond the grave. Embracing these truths can provide comfort, strength, and inspiration for individuals in recovery as we navigate this journey of healing and transformation. Let us embrace both one day at a time in the same way that for centuries people have embraced memento mori. You know, we shall die, but even in remembering that we must die, let us live in such a way that embraces and takes makes the most of each and every day. And our recovery combined with our faith gives us just the synergy to do that in a powerful, powerful way. And then it gives us a message to carry to others, especially addicts and alcoholics, but not exclusively. It's a message that's bigger. The miracles that we've experienced and been able to live through because of our recovery, because of our sobriety, is a message of hope for others. So on this special Easter podcast, know that Jesus died and then he rose again. And in doing so, that we too will die. But because Jesus rose, we too will rise as well. As we put our faith in Jesus and believe in Jesus alone, it tells us in Romans that if you say with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. That's as simple as it gets. If you're not sure who your higher power is and you're still trying to explore that, this is a great way to start a journey of faith. If that is already your faith, make sure you're sharing that as you carry the message, that you're carrying the message of hope, of resurrection, of one day at a time, of memento mori, of living each day to its fullest because of what Jesus has done as he died and he was raised again. That gives us the pattern that we will follow in his footsteps to do the same. So I encourage you and I wish you a very happy Easter this year. And I pray that you and your family and your friends are blessed as they embrace the resurrected Jesus and all the concepts and all the truths and promises attached with Easter. Because remember, he is risen. He is risen indeed. May God bless you until we're back together again. We thank you so much for coming to Studio RC. We encourage you to subscribe, to like, to share, to comment, to do all that fun stuff, because we just want to continue to get the word out, this important word of the momenti mori that will help in us and others to embrace the importance of living each day, one day at a time. So may God bless you until we're back together again. And I wish you a very happy, happy Easter. God bless, and we'll see you next time.